You're listening to the Karibo Shoot Podcast, Episode 28, Starlink and Luigi's Mansion Impressions. Welcome back to another episode of the Karibo Shoe Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, the future Professor Egad, to my present-day Professor Egad. Chad, how's it going?
Tsuka-tsuka. Hey, Brandon, how's it going?
That's an excellent Egad impersonation. this is off-topic, but I just found out that Professor Egad's name is Elvin. That's something I didn't know until today.
Elvin. Really? Yes. I did not know that. That's awesome.
There you go.
Elvin Gad.
A mini character spotlight for Professor Egad in the intro. So we got a good show lined up for you guys today. We've got impressions on the two new releases for both the 3DS and the Nintendo Switch. We're going to be talking about Luigi's Mansion on the 3DS and Starlink Battle for Atlas on the Nintendo Switch. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about some news, new releases, and what we've been playing. Suku-suku. All right, Chad, so what have you been playing here lately?
So I actually have two pretty huge announcements for me.
Oh, boy.
I've been playing some more Zelda Breath of the Wild, and I have finally conquered all 120 shrines.
Wow, that's amazing. Great job, dude.
It took a long time. You know, once you just get down and do it, I had some downtime one day, and I just like, I'm just going to do this. And before I knew it, I had them all. And you actually get some goodies after you do it. And I don't know how that didn't get spoiled for me. I had no idea you get these things. But yeah, I finally got all the shrines.
Wow, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. And Zelda's been out for quite some time, but there's always some stuff to do in that. And I was looking at my percentages. I've been playing this game since launch. That was March 2017.
So a year and a half or so.
Yeah, yeah. And out of 100%, I'm 37% completed with this game.
That's insane.
I don't know what else I can hardly do.
Yeah.
Second big announcement is I beat Octo Expansion on Splatoon 2.
Wow, so you beat the final boss.
Final boss. I mean, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done in video games. And I can't even put a number on how many hours it took me. I would say around 7 hours or so just of random gameplay, just here a little bit, there a little bit. But I tried four times. I beat him on my fourth try right when I was about ready to quit. I finally came up with a technique. And now that I beat him, it doesn't seem so hard, but, you know, it's horrible.
Yeah, wow. No, this is something I'm afraid I'll probably never accomplish, but that's awesome that you did. And I'm sure I'll be seeing the item that you got for beating it at some point. Because, I mean, that's what I would do if I beat it, was wear that to show everybody. So
I'll probably never change my headgear again.
I agree.
Also been playing some Luigi's Mansion and Starlink, which is our topics for today. And there's been a big update to Pocket Camp that I've been playing. Have you been playing that as well?
Every day, man.
What do you think about
this new event is so awesome.
So it's a Pokemon event, but more specifically, it's an Eevee event.
Yes, and that's one thing I didn't realize when you had texted me saying there's a Pokemon event going on. And I thought, okay, it'll be like a Let's Go event. It'll be, you know, Pikachu themed and Eevee themed, but this is all Eevee. It's kind of cool.
It is. It's really neat. So you can collect Pokeballs as items. You'll find them. It's pretty much a scavenger hunt. Instead of Easter eggs, you're finding Pokeballs. They'll be everywhere around the town and around the camp, and you'll just pick them up, and you can exchange these items for Eevee themed clothes or even a giant stuffed Eevee, which I actually crafted today. Finally, it takes 100 Pokeballs to craft this thing, and I've finally done it.
Yes, this is one of the coolest events because I go to every area every day to just see where the Pokeballs are. And not only are they found everywhere where you mentioned, they're like growing on trees and stuff. Yeah. It's like, hey, this is so cool, a Pokeball tree. And also, I've noticed that if you do some little chores for your neighbors, sometimes as a gift, they'll give you some Pokeballs.
Oh, really?
So that's okay. Another good thing.
Well, I don't know if I've ever gotten any yet. Yeah. But yeah, I've noticed, too, that every few hours, it seems like there's more Pokeballs, too.
Yeah.
It's not just once a day.
Exactly. So I've been checking in. Pocket Camp's a game that usually I'd play once a day. But ever since I found out about this Pokemon event, I've been playing it like 3 times a day. Just
same
you here. Know, then maybe the other 2 times, all I do is just search all the areas for Pokeballs. But this is really fun. I want to get every item that's exclusive, and it's going to take a lot of playing to do so.
It is. And I was looking today, and as long as this podcast is being recorded right now, I believe there's only 3 days left in the event.
Yeah, so
it's not very much. So
just get them while you can. For sure, log on. I think you get an Eevee hat just for logging in during the event. And I've got the full costume now.
I've seen you in it. I gave you kudos.
Yeah, so that's really cool. I love that they do stuff like this. You know, what got me back into Pocket Camp was the Splatoon event. And that one was neat, but it was really just fortune cookies. And I like this Pokemon one even more because there's just more stuff to do.
There is, yeah.
So, yeah, really, really am liking it.
And this released right after the Splatoon. I can't wait to see what the next event is. I'm hoping maybe a Smash Brothers event somehow.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, Pocket Camp is definitely worth a second look if you haven't played it for several months. Man, that's really about it for me as well, because I've been playing Pocket Camp, and I've been playing the two games we're talking about a little later on, Starlink and Luigi's Mansion. So let's go ahead and, besides those new releases, there's also quite a few more came out this week. It's a pretty big week for the Switch, I'd say. So some other new releases, we got the remake of The World Ends With You on the Switch. And I think this was kind of a cult classic on the Nintendo DS. I never played it, but it's a square RPG where I think like one screen was like an RPG and the bottom screen was like a rhythm game or something. So I'm not sure. It sounded interesting and unique, but I haven't ever played it myself, but I'm glad to see that on the Switch. Also, we got NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, and I just kind of put this on here mainly for myself because the look of this game kind of reminds me of like NBA Jam, kind of brings me back to the 90s arcade sports games, and that's kind of what this one looks like. So I thought that was neat.
That's really cool. I actually saw a rumor today that the original NBA 2K Playgrounds, the first one that released on Switch, it kind of had a rocky launch. It did,
especially on the Nintendo Switch.
Right. I heard it actually got removed from the Switch eShop.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. Maybe that could be a rare game if you have it downloaded on your Switch.
I know. I've never wanted it until right now.
Yeah, exactly. Same here.
And then we also got another Lego game. Lego DC Supervillains came out, and I kind of like the idea of this one. Instead of playing as the heroes, as you typically do, it looks like you play as all the DC villains in this game.
Right. It looks like that you get to customize your own villain and can use him in some of the story missions and everything. So I'll probably wait for this game to go on sale. Lego games typically go on sale quite a bit, it seems like.
This is an easy pickup when it goes down to $19.99 for me.
For sure.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got Starlink. It came out this Tuesday, and we'll be talking about that later. And then lastly, Dark Souls Remastered is out now. And that's another series I don't know anything about, but glad that it came to the Switch. And the even better news that this game's coming out means our Solaire amiibos are coming out. I know mine is shipped.
Mine has as well.
So I think I'll have it on Monday. So, yeah, those are all the new releases are the bigger ones that I could find out. And also we have just one bit of news here. It's just one item, but I thought it was pretty big. And we've got another Nintendo Switch console bundle. So we're getting a Diablo 3 themed console, Nintendo Switch console. This is one I really didn't see coming.
Me either, especially a third-party game like this getting its own Switch console already. I know there's been a Monster Hunter 3DS and stuff, but Monster Hunter's been on a lot of Nintendo platforms.
Right. Yeah, as many special edition systems as the Nintendo's made, something like a third-party one is just very, very rare. So I actually was really busy the morning they announced this, and I didn't even hear about this news until I actually met you for lunch and you mentioned it. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and they customized the console and the dock. It looks like the standard gray Joy-Cons, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so it's going to be it's a GameStop exclusive here in North America, and it's coming out on November 12th. And it includes both a themed console, dock and also a carrying case. And it looks like the same carrying case that came with the Splatoon and the Mario Odyssey edition. So not only is it getting the themed Joy-Con and dock, kind of like the Pokemon one and the Smash Bros., but it's getting a carrying case. And all this did was just remind me, why didn't the Pokemon and the Smash Brothers consoles come with a case like this?
Exactly. That's kind of odd.
And then, of course, a download code for the game as well. So this is something I'm not really interested in, but again, it just... that it's a GameStop exclusive and it's a third-party game, and these other, you know, bigger game bundles are coming out like Pokemon and Smash Brothers. I wonder if this won't be a rare system someday. I kind of think it will.
So the Smash one comes out, I believe, on November 2nd, about a month before the game releases.
Right.
This one, the Diablo, comes out on November 12th, and the Pikachu and Eevee come out on November 16th when the game's released.
Yeah.
That's three big bundles real quick in the same month with only a week or two apart.
Yeah. That's
really fast.
Yeah. I feel sorry for you if you're a Nintendo Switch console collector and you want to have them all. November is going to be a very expensive month for you.
It sure will be if I was going to get them all.
So, yeah, just very odd to see a third party. It looks like Nintendo really went the extra mile to get a Blizzard game on their console. And you know, Blizzard's a huge company, and maybe this will mean that we'll get some more Blizzard games in the future.
Yeah. No, I'm really glad to see such a big game come to Switch, and I hope it does well.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this segment, and we'll be back with our main topic. We're going to start off with Luigi's Mansion.
Mario!
Okay, so our first game we're going to be talking about our impressions of is going to be Luigi's Mansion on the 3DS. And Chad, we've both been playing this, but I think you've gotten a little farther, so I'm going to kind of let you take the reins here and tell us a little bit about Luigi's Mansion.
All right, so Luigi's Mansion on the 3DS is actually a remake of the GameCube original.
Right.
I've owned the original, but I've never beat it before. I've just played a little bit and then stopped, so definitely plan on beating this one here. It's got some new features, though, for 3DS. It includes, of course, 3D support, which I was kind of surprised at. It seems like a lot of these newer games, like WarioWare, are only playable in 2D.
Yes, that's kind of been kind of a trend. It seems like since the 2DS XL was announced, it seems like Nintendo's kind of dropped 3D support for their first-party games, but they bring it back here for Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Now, I've tried it out a little bit in 3D, but I just don't think to turn it on a whole lot, so I just play it in 2D anyway. It does have Amiibo support, so that's great, of course, and a new co-op mode. A couple of new co-op modes, I guess.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit more about the co-op? That's one thing I have not got to try yet.
So we actually found out that the green ghost we saw in the Nintendo Direct actually isn't a green ghost Luigi.
Right.
It's a slime Luigi called Gooigi.
That's a great name.
I couldn't believe they named him that. That's crazy, yeah.
Seemed like they kept it a secret till the game came out.
They did, yeah. I had no idea until I was watching the Nintendo Minute episode, and I was like, Luigi, who is this?
Yes.
But, so I've actually got to play this with my girlfriend, which is now my fiancé, I might add. So,
congratulations.
Appreciate it. So we got to play this, and I was playing as Luigi. She was playing as Luigi. I believe you start off with 100 as Luigi health.
Right.
And Luigi only has 50 health. He cannot open doors and cannot pick up items such as keys.
Okay, so pretty limited, or more limited than I thought, at least.
And it is local co-op, no online co-op.
True, yes, we should mention that.
So, if you have a beginner player, you may want to put them on Luigi because you're kind of limited to what you can do. You're obviously helpful whenever you're trying to attack the ghosts and suck them up in your poltergeist. But other than that, it's pretty limited co-op mode. You can't do a whole lot.
Interesting.
But I guess you have to be on in the same room at the same time. So maybe they didn't want the other player leaving when the main player wasn't ready to.
Yeah, I get that. Now, what happens if, like, the player two dies?
We never actually tested that out.
Okay.
But from what I gather, I believe if you die shortly, you'll just respawn again.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I was really, really pleased to see that they added co-op to this game, and I still am very happy it's there. It was a little more limited than I thought it'd be, but hopefully they'll use this as kind of a test, and I really hope they throw something like this in the Luigi's Mansion 3 on the Switch.
I think that was just kind of a stepping stone towards that, I believe.
Yeah, just trying it out.
I really think they could do a really good job, especially on the Switch.
Yeah, that's cool. So
as far as we know, there are four different amiibo characters that are supported per Nintendo Insider here. It's Boo, of course, the Boo amiibo, the only one I'm missing.
I know, I want one so bad. I can't find one anywhere, though.
It's not very cheap either, even online. It's fairly expensive.
Yeah.
On the Boos, the map will show the locations of up to three Boos in the mansion that have escaped capture. So there's 50 Boos that you let out of this cage and everything.
Okay.
And they're all hiding in the mansion, and you have to find all 50 of them.
Whew.
It takes some time. I think I'm up to 20 right now, but it just takes a while.
So this one will really help in trying to complete all the game and find all these Boos. It'd be very helpful.
It really would, yeah. We'll have to definitely keep our eyes open for one of these here.
Yeah, I hate that I didn't buy one when they were just on all the shelves a few months ago.
Yeah, I think this is a glow-in-the-dark one, too.
I know. It just makes me want it even more.
The Mario amiibo. I'm not sure which Mario one this is. I guess
I think any Mario one works.
Any Mario one, okay.
Because I know, and we're going to get to the Luigi amiibo soon, but I was looking on Nintendo's website, and they show kind of the Mario series amiibos. Well, I don't have a Mario series Luigi, so I tried my Smash Brothers one, and it worked.
Indeed, okay.
So I think any Mario character will work.
Gotcha, awesome. On the Mario amiibo, the poison mushrooms in the mansion have transformed into super mushrooms. Grab one, and your health will recover. So I've been hit by quite a few of these poison mushrooms.
Poison ones, yeah.
Whenever you're trying to capture the main ghost that have escaped the paintings, whenever you get the health down to about 50 or so, it seems like one of the mushrooms will jump out and it'll actually shrink you.
Right.
And I don't know if whenever you are a tiny Luigi, have you ever yelled out Mario's name?
No, I have not hit one of these mushrooms yet. But, you know, they come out and they move around pretty slowly around the room. But the thing is, if you're trying to catch a ghost, you're concentrating on that, and you're more than likely going to hit one of these.
Right, and the ghost will drag you around
exactly,
sometimes.
Exactly, yeah. So, no, I haven't. I bet that sounds funny.
It does. It sounds like he's got been sucking on helium. the Luigi amiibo is you've now got a chance to revive your health if it reaches zero while you're in the mansion. Also, the furniture that a speedy spirit is hiding in will light up.
Yeah. So I think so far this to me sounds like the best amiibo maybe to use.
Right. Just because
this is kind of an extra life if you die.
Pretty much. Yeah. You got to keep your eye open for the extra health in the mansion. You need to check drawers. You need to be searching everywhere because you never know where some health will be hidden. But if you're not into that, then if you have a Luigi amiibo, this is perfect. And I actually haven't got to scan any amiibo yet.
Okay.
So I would really like to do this. A lot of my amiibo are tucked away, and I don't think to use them.
Yeah, I had to dig into my big crate of them for my Luigi one. But basically, anytime you're back at Professor Egad's lab, they give you a chance to scan an amiibo.
Okay.
I think you can just scan one at a time. And then I know when I turned off my game, it said you'd have to rescan the amiibo if you wanted to use the power again.
Okay. Gotcha. Finally, the Toad amiibo is you can now talk to Toad to have your health restored. Just talking to Toad now without using the amiibo, he'll let you save your progress. So
yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad they added these amiibo support for this game, because I feel like then they'll probably for sure do it with Luigi's Mansion 3. And here's what I'm hoping, Chad. I'm hoping that there is a Luigi's Mansion set of amiibo.
I could see that. I really want a Poltergeist amiibo on Luigi's back, and then maybe even the dog ghost on Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
But most of all, I want a Professor Egad amiibo.
I thought you might.
Please give it to me, Nintendo.
Professor Elvin Gad amiibo, please.
Either it can be present Egad or future Egad. I don't care. Or maybe Luigi's Mansion 3 will have a past Egad. I'll take any or all three.
I really hope we see, when Luigi's Mansion 3 comes out, that we see a lot of Luigi's Mansion items and stuff, like a plush Professor Egad. I think that would be really cool.
Because I know there's been a plush Luigi with a Poltergust.
Yes.
But man, the Luigi's Mansion merchandise is very, very scarce. I'm really hoping that we'll see some more of that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on the game? You know, this is we're both really used to playing games on the Switch now. And so what do you think about playing it on the 2DS XL? Do you like it? What are your thoughts kind of so far?
So far, I'm really enjoying it just because I just love Luigi's Mansion. Honestly, I just love the franchise. I love Professor Egad. I love Luigi. So yeah, I think it's definitely worth a pickup. I believe it's $39.99 on the 3DS. I'm like you. I'm ready for the one on the Switch. I really want to play this on the Switch. Yes. I think the graphics will be way, way better than they are now. Mm-hmm. And I hope for a better co-op mode. But so far, it's a 3DS game. No complaints as far as the gameplay or anything yet.
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving it. So I played the GameCube one. It was one of the first games I got when I picked up a GameCube. It wasn't right at launch, but it was, you know, pretty recent when I got it. And I absolutely loved playing it. I beat it. And then that was a game that I never picked up again, really. I've never went back and played through it. So playing it now, it's just like it's unfamiliar, but it's familiar. Like I remember certain little things about it, and it just kind of takes me back.
Yeah.
And I've been having an absolute blast with this game. Like it's hard for me to keep playing something on the 2DS just because my hands get cramped and the graphics are terrible compared to the Switch. But this is one I just think I will for sure play all the way through. It is just so fun. I'm just so excited about getting back in and playing some more.
There's something about just ghost hunting in a Mario game. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, I was trying to think. It's a game kind of unique in video games as a whole. I can't think of any other games that really had this idea. It was a very original idea by Nintendo, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's not at all like a 3D Mario game or a 2D Mario game. Luigi can't jump or anything. You're just going around, you're trying to collect ghosts and solve a mystery. And there's just something about that I really like.
Yeah. Same.
So this is an outstanding game. I think it's held up really well. And if you have a 3DS, this is definitely one I'd say to pick up.
For sure. Yes.
All right, so that's our thoughts on Luigi's Mansion so far, and we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about Starlink. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next big game we've been playing this week, and that is Starlink Battle for Atlas on the Nintendo Switch. So this is a game by Ubisoft, so it's a third-party game, and it's out on all consoles. It's Ubisoft's new Toys to Life game. So this is kind of following in the footsteps of, I'd say, like Skylanders and Disney Infinity. And, you know, both of those games have either been canceled or really kind of fallen or haven't had anything new lately. And I really didn't know that we'd see another Toys to Life game. It just seems like this is kind of a failed experiment for a couple of companies. And I really didn't have any interest in these toys until it was announced that Nintendo's version of this game was going to have some special stuff. And then it's going to have exclusive Star Fox content. And then my ears perked up, and I think yours did as well. And I'm like, well, I may would be interested in these toys if it's in our wing, you know. So we've been playing the Switch version, and that's really the only toy I have so far is the R-Wing that came with the starter kit. And so this is a huge open world space shooter is kind of how I'd describe it. As far as I know, you never get out of your ship. At least so far I haven't, and I don't believe you do. I mean, you see your pilots and stuff in the cutscenes, but you're either flying through space or you are, you know, kind of hovering above land and shooting stuff when you land on a planet.
Yes.
This is a very interesting game to me. The toys, they come with the starter kit comes with like a controller grip that latches onto your controller. For the Switch version, it's a Joy-Con grip, and you place the pilots that come with the game or that you can buy others. You place the ship, you place the weapons, you place all that stuff on your mount on your controller, and whatever stuff you place on that mount, that's what shows up in the game. So it's kind of a neat idea.
It really is, and it comes with actually the Star Fox stuff. You get Star Fox as a pilot, another pilot, and an R-Wing, and that's what really sold me on this. I've seen there's a PS4 and Xbox One version. It looks like they have some different ships in there. Nintendo's going to, of course, have the R-Wing, though, and that's the only ship you can get to me. It's the best, of course.
Right.
And then it comes with two weapon packs. And from what I've tested, you can put these weapons on backwards,
yeah,
forwards. It doesn't matter. You can equip more wings. You can just you can build whatever you want to. It may not fly, but
it's just crazy. Kind of go crazy with this game. And I thought that's so neat. And this would have blown my mind as a kid that, oh, I can turn this weapon around, or I have fire on the left and ice on the right. I can just switch them if I want to, you know, it's really neat. And it just shows right up in the game. So,
right. It's really cool.
Now, I will say, if you're not interested in having a bunch of toys in your house or you don't have room, you can also play this game without the toys. You can buy a digital version of this game that comes with digital pilots and weapons and ships. And you do not, unlike something like Skylanders or Disney Infinity, you don't have to use the toys to play. So I thought that was very smart by Ubisoft to do this, because sure, they're going to get money from the collectors and the people that want all the ships and stuff, but they can also get money from people that just want to play this game and not fiddle with a bunch of toys.
Right, right. So it looks like it's quite a bit cheaper if you go the digital route here.
Exactly.
It really is. I believe it's like $80-something on the eShop, and it looks like it comes with most, if not all, of the content.
Yeah, so there's a regular version that I think is $60, and then a deluxe that's $80, and $80 has all ships, all pilots.
All ships, all pilots. Wow.
And even the digital version comes with like 4 or 5 ships and pilots, and it comes with more than the physical standard edition. Yeah, okay. Because, again, you're not getting the physical R-Wing and Fox pilot.
Right, okay.
So there's a lot of different ways to go about getting this game. But, you know, I had to have the R-Wing. So that's the way I went. Plus, I still have Gamers Club unlocked, so it made it a lot cheaper for us.
Yes. Yeah. So it looks like all the ships in the game, you can buy them physical. They have little packs for sale at Best Buy or wherever you buy your stuff.
Exactly.
They have all the ships out there. They have all the pilots in the game. And they have weapon packs that you can buy to upgrade your weapons. You can get these digitally or physically. The ships, I believe, cost $24.99, and these are basically, from what I can figure out, another life. If you're fighting and your R-Wing gets smashed to pieces, you can either reboot yourself to your last save point, or you can just link another ship and continue from right there.
Right.
And so in the starter pack we've got, I actually died once in the R-Wing.
I have as well.
I just clicked link another ship, and it showed just a bunch of lock spaces, except on one. We get another ship with that starter pack that we had for the other pilot. We got 2 pilot figurines.
Right.
And then the R-Wing. So I linked the other ship, and it controls pretty much the same as the R-Wing. Doesn't look near as cool, in my opinion.
Right.
And it has the same, you can just equip whatever weapons you want on there.
So it's basically every ship you have is just another life, really. That's cool.
Yeah, pretty much. And whenever I had some downtime, I was just flying around in space and everything. I just went to my weapons customization, and I actually played quite a bit with the grip. And it was pretty comfortable. Your R-Wing has some adjustable wings, and if you have them down, they're in the way of your thumbs. They kind of dig into your thumbs, and I couldn't even hardly slide mine under there. So I just folded the wings up, and I was fine with that.
Yeah.
And it worked really well, but I switched over to the Pro Controller to see how that would work.
How did that work? Because the only night I played, I did play with the Joy-Con grip.
I'll probably just continue to play with the Pro Controller just because it's easier.
It's a little more comfortable.
You can just go into the menu real quick and just add weapons or take weapons off, however you want to do it. And I actually added the wings from my other ship. I actually put those wings on my R-Wing, and I believe it made me a little bit faster.
Interesting.
And I like the R-Wing weapons, the lasers.
Yes.
I just take off my fire and ice weapons until I need them, and I just use the lasers on
That's
the R-Wing,
cool. Yeah.
Just the stock weapons. So far, it's really neat. I kind of would like to get some extra weapons packs, and if I could find the ships for a really, really good price, I might would get them, but I don't have any interest in having them on my shelf, like you say.
Yeah, or dropping $25 for one. No. That's a lot of money for an extra life.
if the eShop ever runs a sale on this game, I'll probably load up on some stuff if I'm still playing it. But so far, I'm probably about 3 hours in, and I'm absolutely loving the story.
Yeah, it's really neat. And, you know, this it's not just that you get this R-Wing and that's really all the Star Fox stuff. You can play as Fox as your main character. You, for that matter, you can play as any of the pilots. You can go to Best Buy and buy, there's, I don't know, 8 or 9 different pilots probably. You can buy any of them, and you can have that be your main character through the game. And what I thought is so cool with Nintendo and Ubisoft's partnership is that you can play as Star Fox through this entire game. It's the Star Fox content isn't something a little side deal or a different menu item other than the main story. It, you can play as Fox through the entire deal, and they've got kind of a Star Fox is kind of on the hunt for Star Wolf with his crew, and they kind of weave that into the main story as side missions. But you can play as Fox throughout this entire game. He'll show up in the cutscenes. They integrate him with the other pilots in there that aren't from Star Fox, and it's just awesome. Like, I'm going to play through this game as Fox.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't plan on ever switching my pilot or anything, and I'm really surprised at Falco, Slippy, and Peppy, and Fox are actually in the cutscenes. Like,
yeah, it's so neat.
Like on PlayStation, Xbox, you know they're not in there, so the cutscenes probably look entirely different.
Right.
It's almost two separate games to me, I would say.
This is one of those games where I'm sure the PlayStation 4 and Xbox ones will look better, but this, to me, is one of those that you've got to get this on the Switch if you have the option, because you're missing out on a lot of stuff with all this Star Fox stuff if you don't.
I think so, and I could be wrong. We saw this at E3. Is that when this was announced and everything?
That's when I started paying attention to
it. Paying attention to it, yeah.
Because that's kind of, I think, when Nintendo announced the Star Fox integration.
Right. And I'm really surprised how Ubisoft is doing all this, especially with Mario Rabbids. That was such a hit with Starlink. I assume this will be a pretty big hit because it's awesome. I'm just ready for what they have next now after this part.
I really think that this is the beginning of a really good partnership between Nintendo and Ubisoft, where Nintendo's allowing them to use some of their main characters. Like the Mario Rabbids thing is just insane to me. I mean, for Nintendo to let loose of Mario when the last time they did that was like Hotel Mario, you know, back in the 90s, which was just an abomination. I mean, they really trusted Ubisoft, and I thought Ubisoft did a great job with the Mario franchise. And here, they're entrusting them with Star Fox, which is not near as big as Mario, but it's huge to all of us Nintendo fans.
Oh, yeah.
And to entrust the Star Fox characters in just a completely different game, and for it to be as good as it is, I'm just blown away. And yeah, I can't wait to see what Nintendo and Ubisoft do next.
Yeah, yes. Same here. Yeah, no, that's perfect. And one of the best things whenever you start this game is, of course, they do a barrel roll. You can do barrel rolls in this game.
Yes.
Mostly it's the it's RR, isn't it, on the old controllers?
Yes, ZR twice.
ZR twice, okay, yeah. This isn't a Star Fox game, even though it feels like it. I believe it's double A now.
Yes, it took me a little bit to figure it out, but I was so happy to find that you can do a barrel roll.
It was very cool. I was very happy that they allowed that.
So, yeah, you said you're about 3 hours in. I'm probably about 2 hours in. This seems like it's going to be a pretty big game. I'm thinking 20 or 30 hours maybe. So we're pretty early. But, I mean, I have zero complaints so far other than, you know, some of the enemies are vulnerable to different elemental weapons. And, you only get 2 at the starter kit. So unless you buy a few more weapons, you're going to be at a disadvantage against some of the bosses. So I've broke down and bought a couple weapon packs. I actually came in today, so I haven't got to use them yet. But I'm hoping that I can buy just a few weapons, and hopefully I can breeze through the game pretty easily without having to buy a whole lot of other stuff.
Right.
But I guess we'll see.
Very nice. Yeah, you'll have to let me know how those work out and everything.
Yeah. So, man, I think that's about all I have on Starlink so far. Just that, I mean, I'm nowhere close to being done with this game. I'll definitely be playing it quite a bit more in the future because I really, really am enjoying how it plays.
Yeah. It looks like there's a lot of stuff to collect. I know on some of the planets you go on, and it's basically you start out in space, you just start driving toward a planet, and you just kind of get sucked into it.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second. There is, as far as I can tell, no loading in this game. Besides when it first loads up, like you go from a planet to outer space to another planet, and it never loads.
I don't think it does. Now you mentioned it. Yeah,
that's very impressive for them to be able to do that on the Switch.
Yeah, it really is. Wow. Yeah, I can't believe I never noticed that.
Yeah, and as far as I've heard, you can go to, I think there are maybe 7 different planets. You can go to all 7 and back into outer space and back down. and never had to load. So that's another big thing that I think is really impressive about this game.
Yeah, so you just go down to the planet, and when you're ready to go to space, you usually have a kind of in a hover mode whenever you're on land, but you can fly if you want to, but if you hover, it seems a little bit easier to get around to me.
Yes.
But you can just start flying straight up towards space, go back to the ship, or whatever you want to do.
Yes. And like you were saying about collectibles, there's little minerals and stuff you can collect, but there's also like different wildlife you'll come across. And
yeah.
I've been having fun. If you get close enough to them, you can start to scan them. And it seems like you, at least so far in the early parts of the game, you'll need to scan two or three of the same species, and then you'll get a better understanding and some different things unlocked about those creatures. And so I've been having fun just kind of exploring the planets that I've been to so far and just seeing what all I can find.
Yeah, it usually tells you a percentage of the planet that you've explored. If you've explored 25%,
nice.
I don't know what happens when you explore a planet 100%, but it kind of gives you an idea of how much of the planet you've been over.
Yeah, and I mean, these planets seem like they're pretty big in size.
Yeah, the wildlife is, getting back to that, they're very odd creatures.
Definitely.
Nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah, so... Again, this game is it seems like it's got a lot of stuff in it and a lot of things to collect and different systems and stuff. And I haven't even figured out everything, like trying to upgrade my weapons and stuff. I'm kind of lost on some of it. It's hard for me to tell even what I'm doing, but I'm looking forward to finding out a little more. And I'm glad there is all that customization there.
Yeah, it looks like you can mod your ship quite a bit if you pay attention to it.
And again, you know, don't let the toy stuff scare you away if you're not interested in that or, you know, would rather just play a game and not have to fiddle with a bunch of toys and accessories. Like, you can play it that way as well. So, you know, don't let that scare you off. I think the toy stuff is neat, and I think it's great. I think it's perfect for kids because there's something almost magical about, you know, swapping out weapons and ships and them just appearing in the game. That's really cool to me, but it's definitely not at all necessary to enjoy the game.
No, not at all.
So yeah, that's going to do it for our second main topic here of Starlink, and that's going to do it for the show this week. So I want to thank everyone again for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.
Mama Mario!
Before we leave you today, we want to go over a few quick things. We want to remind everyone to visit our show page over at anchor.fm/Karibo Shoe Podcast. You can find all of our episodes there, as well as links on all the services that we're available on. Those services include Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and through the Anchor app, which is available on both iOS and Android. We'd also like to take this time to ask you to rate our show on Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts if you enjoy it. We really appreciate that. And lastly, you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at Karibo Shoe Pod, and we're on Instagram at Karibo Shoe Podcast. I want to thank you once again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.